indeed kind of brought a theme together in this service, and I'm grateful that we serve a God that loves to take dirty and make worthy. And, you know, when I was growing up, I would often go to my Aunt Sarah and Uncle Earl Goad's house. My family loved to play games. They loved to play cards, whether it was Rook or, you know, the different games that they played. Kentucky Rummy, I don't even know what that game is, but somebody says like Canasta, I don't know, I never played that. But they used to love playing games. And I would spend the night, every now and then, I'd spend the night at Sir and Earl's house. And I can remember, if I allow my mind to do this, I can remember that my Aunt Sarah, she had a china cabinet. And the house they lived in was a modular home. And I can remember when I was a little kid, every time I'd walk in the kitchen, I would hear those dishes a little bit, you know, in that cabinet. And what was cool about that is very rarely did those dishes ever come out. They would come out on special occasion. You know, normally it was paper plate or just an ordinary old plate or, you know, dishes and things. But on special occasions, my Aunt Sarah would get those out. And she'd have a special meal with her family. And when you look in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul really brings out for us some beautiful language. And he's going to talk about two different types of vessels. And he's going to use it in the contrast. There's some contrast in these verses. But I want you to see this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. I promise I won't keep you long. So if you'll put your seatbelt on and listen fast, we'll get through this pretty quickly. And we'll pick it up actually even next Sunday. Because I really believe, I'm telling you under the Lord, I really, really believe that God is going to do some things in the lives of some people here today. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, one of the things that can often happen, I'll just say it like this. One of the things that can often happen, if you've been saved for any length of time, is along your journey, you can get to the point in your life where you feel unworthy. You can get to the point in your life where you feel perhaps that you've messed up so bad that you'll never be useful again. Well, let me tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, all that is a lie. We serve a God who is a God of grace. We serve a God who is a God of mercy. We serve a God who still does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. You today, and Toby's my son, and we like to use humor a lot to deflect when we get emotional. But you may feel, and this is the humor part, you may feel like a paper plate this morning. But I promise you, you're more valuable than you ever realized because of what Jesus Christ has done for you and what he's done in your life. So if you're here this morning as a believer in Jesus, I pray to God that the Lord will use these few verses here today to really encourage you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21. Of course, Paul is writing to a young pastor. He's writing saturated. These two pastoral letters are saturated with great truth. He tells him how to behave in the house of God. He tells him, you know, this young preacher to encourage him. And look what he says in verse 20 and 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but," so that's the china closet, right? That's the china cabinet, right? There's vessels of gold and silver, "but also of wood and of earth, clay. Some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these," the latter there, "he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us to love you more. May your Holy Spirit, God, be our teacher and our guide as we move forward quickly through this. And we just ask that you'll move, for it's in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me just say to you also, time-wise, we won't get there, but we'll pick it up next Sunday morning. But we'll also look at 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. You can write that in your notes, and you can look at it after the service because it's a tremendous portion of Scripture. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, that I think, I'm pretty sure on this, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 was the first text that I used when the first sermon I ever preached here at Emmanuel, I believe, I preached that 1 Peter 1, verse 18, 19, because it's powerful about redemption. So, but in the context of these verses, I'm preaching on this subject today, useful. Useful. Now, you may be here today and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, you don't know, you don't understand. Yes, I'm a Christian, but preacher, you don't understand all that I've done. You don't understand how I feel. You don't understand. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Well, let me just please, not to be disrespectful to you per se for that, but I want you to understand something. At best, everybody look up here for a minute. At best, for those of us that are born again, watching the internet in this room, at best, friend, we're sinners saved by the grace of God. At best, we're not perfect. Now, we have a justified standing in the eyes of God, and we know that God sees us. He sees indeed the results of the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that was applied to our life, and He sees us, Colossians 1, as holy, undefiled, unreprovable. He sees that. But you and I know who often we see when we look in the mirror. We don't see that. We don't see that reality because I think sometimes we get so focused in on what we've done wrong. We get so focused in, and it's I think it's natural to do this. It's human nature to do this. We get so focused in on all the bad things that we've done and all the mistakes that we've made rather than focusing on the power of His grace and His restoration. I love the song that Angela sang today. That was a powerful song. There's no one too dirty that you can't make worthy. Because it's all because of Jesus. Let me say this to you, and I want you to look up here. It's only because of God's grace. That you're even here today. You know that, right? It's because of God's grace. Yeah, Jim. Whatever that. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, whatever. Thank you for the distraction, diversion. It's only because of God's grace that you have air in your lungs. It's only because of God's grace that you've made it even this far. But I also know how the devil works. I know that the devil, one of the things that the devil, young people, please hear the heart of your preacher today. The devil loves to tell us how filthy we are. He loves to tell us how dirty we are. He loves to tell us that we're no count. He loves to tell us that because of all the bad we've done, we'll never be useful. But on the authority of God's holy word, He is a liar. He is the father of lies. And one of these days, my Lord and my Savior is going to take care of him once and for all. The Bible says of Satan, he's an accuser of the brethren. He loves to accuse. He loves to accuse. He loves to make you constantly feel that you're a paper plate. And not just any paper plate. Just one of those single thin dollar store paper plates. Not even a Chinette plate. I'm talking about the thin ones, right? And if you don't have that plastic dollar store ring under it, as soon as you put your baked beans on it, it's going to collapse it. That type of paper plate. And the devil wants you to think, and the devil wants you to really believe that that's the value that you have. But on the authority of God's holy word, you, my friend, are of infinite worth, because 2,000 years ago, a man by the name of Jesus, who was not only was he a man, a human being, he was God, he was God-man. 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross of Calvary. They buried his body. He rose again the third day. But you got to get a hold of this. He did that for you. He did that for me. And it's because of him, friend, it's because of him, and it is in him that we find our value. It is in Christ that we find a reason for living. It is in Christ that we find our purpose. It is in Christ. As I heard Jennifer Sisney in a presentation on Thursday and Friday, we were in Chicago. My wife and I had a quick trip and just had some specialty training. It was phenomenal stuff. Jennifer Sisney talked about finding your why. It is in Christ, young people, adults, it is in Christ where you find your why. Why you're here. Why are you here? You're here to give God glory. And let me just say this to you, and I mean this, and I pray God uses this. You got to really come to understand that God loves you. Can I get a witness in this building? He loves you. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. Yes, I'm his child. But I feel like I fail him so much. That's what grace is for. If I never messed up, I wouldn't need grace. If I never messed up, I wouldn't need mercy. But I often know in my life, I mess up a lot. But that's why I praise him. I praise him because he takes my messes, man, and he makes a message out of them, and he uses it to give him glory, and he uses it to give him praise, and he uses it so that I then and you can talk to other people who are broken, and can talk to other people who have a past, and can talk to other people who have series of bad decisions and bad choices, and you and I who are broken, and God is mending one piece at a time, as Angela said. Man, what a powerful message in that song. You and I then can brag about him to other broken people about how much he loved us and how much, you know, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall and fell, right? But the Lord Jesus put him back together again, and he put her back together again. And let me just say this. He continues to put us back together again. He continues to do that. So I want to show you, first of all, just briefly, my belly's growling today. Distraction. That's what heralds do. Distraction. Notice the pursuit of a believer. We see the pursuit of a believer. I got saved when I was 16. Got called to preach about 6 months later. Preached my first sermon, you know that it's funny, but I preached my first sermon on Christmas Day, 1988. David, I preached it in junior church. I preached a powerful message to a bunch of junior church kids. I scared them to death because the title of my sermon, literal title of my sermon, was False Prophets. And I preached hard against those false prophets. And I let them have it. And I look back on that and I think to myself, my goodness, the Lord is so wonderful and so gracious and so full of mercy that he can, you know, take that and give him glory. Shortly after I got saved, I really mean it. I had a desire to serve the Lord. I said it not braggingly. God knows my heart. It's part of this sermon. But my heart's desire was to be used of him. My heart's desire was to be used of God, just like yours is. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're truly born again. You have a desire. You have an innate desire. And by the way, it was placed there by God. God put the desire in you. Right? He put that desire there for you to want to serve him as his child. He put that desire there for you to want to grow and for you to want to read your Bible and want to be a, you know, assemble with other believers in Christ. He puts that desire in there. He changes your want to when you get born again. I used to make fun of church people, but when God saved me, I became one of those people I used to make fun of. But you say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Here's where I'm going with this. The pursuit of a believer, we're talking about useful. Paul uses a figure of a vessel to describe believers. And as he describes these believers, he uses a couple different types of material. He uses there in verse 20, he said there's vessels of gold and of silver. Those are the honorable vessels. Those are the china vessels, right? Those are the ones in my Aunt Suri's china cupboard. My granny had one as well. You know, the special dishes, the special ones that you only bring out when it's a special occasion. But she also, my Aunt Suri, also had another little, you know, cupboard. And she had all kinds of stuff in there. That was the common plates. That was the, you know, common, dishes. You know, no matter what you were doing, if you were, it didn't matter what you were serving. As long as you weren't serving some fancy, fancy meal, you used the common plates. And you can mark it down. Stay with me. You can mark it down that there never was a time where my Aunt Suri would take that common plate and say, you know what, I want to put it over here in fine china. It just wouldn't happen. You would never do that. But let me tell you something, and I'm going to give this to you, and I want you to chew on this, especially young people, chew on this for next week, because the preacher's going to unfold it for you next Sunday morning. Let me tell you what God does. God, very often, reaches in the common cupboard, gets the common plate, purges it and cleanses it, and he brings it over, and he puts it in a special cupboard. His china cupboard. You say, preacher, wait, are you telling me that God can do that with my life? Are you telling me that God can use my life even with all the mistakes? That's exactly what I'm telling you. God can use you, and he will use you. There's the, you know, the material of gold and silver. It's an honorable. There's the material there in verse 20, wood and of earth he uses. The word earth means clay. They were dishonorable, if you will. You see, in the gold and silver, vessels are more valuable and presentable. Normally, prominently displayed as decorations are used for serving important guests. The wood and the earth or the clay type of vessels were inferior. Were common, plain, replaceable, unattractive, and often dirty. Because some were used for garbage. Some were used for just menial tasks around the home. They were used for those duties that were never seen and were kept out of sight as much as possible. To display these and to display those common ones before guests would be an act of unspeakable dishonor. Contextually, we know, and Johnny Hunt even talks about this, he says the honorable vessels represents believers who are faithful and useful to the Lord. In verses 3 through 6, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, I believe it was, it says, he said they are good soldiers, competitive athletes, hardworking farmers. On the other hand, the dishonorable are cowardly soldiers, lazy athletes, and slothful farmers. The dirty are fit only for menial, undistinguished purposes. We say, Pastor, what about me? Here's what we know. Now, you see this honor and dishonor referred to the ways in which genuine believers are found useful for the Lord in fulfilling the work to which he has called us. The works of the vessel of honor, we see it in verse 21, and you know, we see a vessel of honor, you know, it's one that has the cleansed life. You know, if you want to really serve the Lord, you got to, as my father-in-law said years ago, you got to keep a short account of your sin. To the young people that are here today, I thank God for the preachers that spoke into your life, and I mean that. I'm grateful to God. I know Joe and Jen and the parents that are here today, we're grateful that the preachers were used of God to challenge you kids to really serve Jesus with every fiber of your being. I mean, give, as Josh, Pastor Josh said, give God, make a determined, intentional choice to serve God these 7 years. Give God your 7 years, your middle school and high school. Serve him. Say, Pastor, yeah, but I'll never be able to. You see, but friend, here's what you got to get a hold of. There are many of us adults in this room today, and I hope you hear me. There are many adults in this room today that are amazed at what God has done in our lives. Truly amazed. Because it wasn't long ago we were sitting pretty much where you are. It wasn't long ago, and I was the 16-year-old kid playing guitar. Toby said he's not worried about that guitar falling because he was just my dad's. He came in my office today and banged it on the threshold of the door, and I looked at him. I said, he goes, oh, it's all right, and he dusted off. But Tommy, I looked at him. I said, Toby, I said, that guitar is pretty tough. I said, because it survived you when you were 2 years old and you threw a 2-pound weight on it. I said, that guitar can handle it. You said, but Pastor, you don't get it. I continue to make bad mistakes. I continue to make bad choices. Well, all right, adults, let me ask you a question. And I want you teenagers to hear this. To all the adults that are in the room, you can do it in unison. We can do it in unison. Do you still find yourself sometimes making bad choices? All right, you hear that? You hear that? All of us, yes. But what do? You confess it to the Lord and you ask God to forgive you and you ask God to help you not to make that mistake again. I'm going to bring this to a close, and we haven't touched the tip of the iceberg of this text because it's so powerful. But the Apostle Paul really wants this young preacher to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ that rests in us and it rests upon us, the power of Jesus Christ is absolutely so incredible that even as a believer in Jesus, and by the way, both types of vessels were believers in Christ. They were born-again believers. It's not lost and it's not saved and lost represented in this text. Contextually, it's believers, right? Ones that were looked upon perhaps as like a paper plate. Ones looked upon as China. What made the difference? Keeping a short account of their sin. Asking God, perhaps on a daily basis, that the Lord will help you and give you victory over the different areas of your life. I appreciate one of the young people, I believe it was Toby, talked about. He goes, you know, in hearing, you know, some of the preachers preach, he said that, you know, they brought out things that you didn't even realize. We didn't even realize at the time that we were struggling with, only for them to preach it and then realize, wow, we do struggle with those things. I appreciated what Callie was saying. It took a lot of guts to stand up here and be transparent before you. And I'll be honest, Callie, a lot of adults, we would never do what you did. And that's what made it so special. She stood up here and she said, hey, I threw the rock of fear in the lake because I tend to be a fearful person. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Here's what I love about my Lord. Here's what I love about God, and there's so many things. But what I love about God, and one of the things I love about him today, is the fact that the Lord says, bring me all your brokenness. Bring me all your brokenness. Bring me all your struggles. Bring me all your fears. Bring me all your pain. Because if you'll do that, the Lord then will infuse all of that, all of those different things. He'll infuse it with his grace and his mercy. And what he will do, our God is an amazing artist. Because he loves to do things in our lives that we then stand in awe and go, God, that's you. Lord, you did that. My family had that happen this week. We had a big, big God day. God really did something miraculous, and you'll hear about it in the coming weeks. Truly, it was remarkable what God did. Because I know, humanly speaking, there's no way it should have happened. But God did it. And one thing I know about my Lord is God often, not only does he not only does he take care of our needs, sometimes, I can say personal testimony, sometimes he'll give us some of our wants. That's what he's done in my life. Sometimes he does that. And I can tell you, and we'll give invitation, but I can tell you, if you're here today and you do not have Christ as your Savior, sweet friend, I beg you, watching the internet, I beg you to call upon God, ask God to forgive you of your sin, and by faith believe that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. He'll save you. He'll change your life. For you that are maybe wrestling with the thoughts of, say, Pastor, wait a minute, you just don't get it. You don't understand all that I've done. I don't need to know all that you've done. But one thing you do need to know is how amazing of a God he is. He'll take your mess. He'll take your sin. He'll take all of that. He'll wash it in his blood, make you white as snow, cleanse you. You see, because Jesus is not only our sacrifice, Jesus is also, biblically, Old Testament, he's our scapegoat, where they would confess, symbolically confess the sins over the other goat there, the lamb. They would then send it off into the wilderness, never to be returned again. Jesus died as our Savior, but he also is our scapegoat in that he takes our sin, never to be remembered again. What a God. What a God. You young people, I pray to God, and I mean this, and we as parents are praying, that every single one of you will understand how precious you are to God. Every one of you. You say, oh, wait a minute, preacher. Preacher, you don't get it. I don't have it all together. That's another reason I'm so grateful to God. I didn't have it all together. I still don't have it all together, but don't tell the big church people out here. Don't tell the adults that. I still don't have it all together. I'm just trying to be dependent on him. Stanley, please send him an invitation. We kept you long today, but I hope you've enjoyed the teenagers' testimonies. And I hope God's challenged your heart. You may feel like a paper plate here today. But hopefully today, if you say, preacher, I don't feel like a piece of china, but hopefully by now you feel like at least a piece of chinette paper plate, right? You feel a little stronger in the Lord, stronger as far as in your value. Where are you today? If you're here without Christ, we encourage you to trust him. If you're here and you know the Lord is your Savior, but you're struggling, and you say, Pastor, I'm just really struggling with seeing that value, and man, it just keeps me back and holds me back. Hey, come to the altar and talk to the Lord about it. Maybe you need to pray. Whatever you need to do, we give you an opportunity. What's your number, bud? 451. You come as we sing, and I'll meet you at the front.
I surrender. on the floor. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all.
Coming today. Good crowd. How many we have today, guys? 174. Praise the Lord. Thanks you. A lot of you are back now from vacations and things. We appreciate that. A couple quick announcements. Brian, you got a couple announcements there. I don't have
a couple things for the junior campers. We need the money today as they're leaving tomorrow. So the parents have not paid up yet, if you could please do that today, as well as there is a sign-up sheet in the back for VBS. We are in need of some things, and on the sheet at the Welcome Center, it has the list of what we have and what we are in need of. So please, right around the corner, we need some help in that. Please be diligent in that. See that. Don't forget, go out. It's on the Welcome Center. And then there will be choir practice at 5.
Tonight. All right. And then the junior campers will leave. Thank you, Brother Bill. Junior campers will leave at 10 o'clock in the morning and to take them to camp. Actually, Brother Steve and Miss Stephanie Turner will be taking them tomorrow. My wife and I, we were hoping to be able to go, but just some things have occurred, and we will not be able to get away there. But Steve and Stephanie will be taking them, and man, they're going to have a good time. I'm telling you, Camp Kobiak is awesome. These kids love it. We pull up, and they jump out, and the counselors take them and line them up and get them all ready, and We're has-beens. Me and Miss Leslie were has-beens 2 minutes after we got there. But we had a good time dropping them off. And so they'll be taking them. If you have any questions, you can see myself or Brother Steve Turner or Miss Stephanie. But again, they'll leave at 10 o'clock today here from the church. And make sure you have them here ready to go. And they'll probably stop and hit the dollar store menu at McDonald's or something. Don't let Carson and them and Julian talk you into like 4 quarter pounders because they'll try it, brother. I'm telling you, they tried it last time, and but we press through to the dollar menu and we survived that, and we're grateful for that. We're so excited today to see what God has done during invitation, and this couple and their family have been coming to our church for quite a while now, and Hosea and Brittany, say your last name is Stoudemire. Stoudemire is their last name, and they know the Lord is their Savior, but they would like to be baptized here at Emmanuel and become part of our church family. Amen. So we're delighted for that and see them grow, and thank God for that. So we need a motion second on the floor. Brother Tom Noel makes a motion. Tom Samuel makes a second, so that makes it easier for you, Joe. Tom Noel, Tom Samuel makes it. All in favor? Any opposed? Black sign. We see absolutely none. Hands everywhere. Unanimous, 100%. And we are going to give them the right hand of fellowship. And man, praise God for that. And we've been praying for y'all. I've been praying for y'all for a while. And it's really cool to see how the Lord has worked. And we rejoice in that. So any closing announcements?
That was it.
That was it. All right. I'm going to ask you guys, if you don't mind, stand up here with me. And we want our folks to come by and give y'all the right hand of fellowship and to welcome you into our church family. And we are delighted to have them. Man, what a blessing. Yeah, he's delighted. Let's thank God for the Lord adding them to us today. Amen. Praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. My wife and I, we do ask you to just pray for our family. We've got a little, you got a situation going on and in our family. And just pray for our son Cameron, if you would. And I'll just kind of leave that at that. And we'll be talking to him this afternoon. So just remember him in prayer. And I know y'all love him and y'all pray for him. And you pray for us as well. And we would be very grateful for that. And Lord willing, Les and I will see you tonight at 6 o'clock. We're hoping to be able to get back by that. But we covered your prayers. And we're grateful that we have a God that knows exactly what's going on. And nothing takes him by surprise. Amen. Can I get a witness in the building? Nothing takes him by surprise. But just join with our hearts and our prayers. And just remember our son Cameron in your prayers. We'll be grateful for that. Brother Tommy Noel, dismiss us in prayer. And then come by and give the right hand of fellowship to the couple Lord added today.
More than anything, help me want the healing.